Black Friday, wow, shop Wayfair now. Month-long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out the song. Festive decor, Black Friday score. Silence and treats,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses too. Sheets that are you, everything home. These things in chrome. Here's a good clock, area roads. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the season.
Wayfair, 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 Wayfair.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the press. Great to have you here with us for our first show of the week. We're going to talk about the RBC Heritage, which is the signature event this week. We're going to do everything RBC Heritage today. Then we will have a second show this week. We'll touch on the Corrales Punta Cana Championship, which is the OPPO event, the additional event in the PGA Tour's parlance for this week. That's going to be in the Dominican Republic. We've got the LPGA this week just outside of downtown Los Angeles, El Caballero Country Club for the JM Eagle. We've got the Corn Ferry Tour. We've got the China Open on the DP World Tour. Got plenty to get to in that second show, but let's focus on the RBC Heritage today and let's get right into it. So this is the RBC Heritage this week. We are playing for our fifth signature event of the year on the PGA Tour. This is at Harbortown Golf Links on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. I've had the good fortune of playing here. This was probably about 14, 15 years ago now. It's been a while since I've played this tournament or played this golf course. Back then, it was like $150 to play. Now it's like $600 to play, which is kind of crazy. But this is a Pete Dye, Jack Nicklaus jam. It's really more Pete Dye than Jack Nicklaus, but Jack Nicklaus kind of got his feet wet into golf course architecture by being a part of this job and then obviously went on and did his own thing and made hundreds of golf courses where the right shot is to hit a fade off the tee. And then he got a little bit more sophisticated over time. But this is a Pete Dye golf course. You see the railroad ties a lot of places. You see the narrow landing areas, the deceptive landing areas. This golf course, which is a par 71, it's now 7,200 yards. It's been renovated. It's still going to play pretty similar, small targets. This is one of the few golf courses on the PGA Tour where you truly have to play to small target golf. Every Pete Dye course is really a target golf course if you think about it long enough or play it long enough. But this one is very explicit. You have to hit in certain areas to be successful. If you don't, the claustrophobic fairways kind of climb in on you. You're hitting around trees or under trees. The greens are fairly small in terms of square footage, one of the smallest on the PGA Tour. This is also, interestingly enough, one of the courses that has kind of the biggest reliance on strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour. That's kind of interesting, considering that the putting surfaces are so small and you would think you would miss a lot of them. This is also a golf course that tends to favor players who don't hit the ball particularly far, noting that Scottie Scheffler just won this thing last year. But typically speaking, as we get into the show, you're going to notice that you're going to see players who are just kind of quality ball strikers, not even necessarily great putters, just quality ball strikers who hit targets well, give themselves closer putts because they're good ball strikers, and on these putting surfaces actually helps them out. Doesn't mean you have to be a great putter to win here. Actually, it means kind of the opposite. You don't have to be a great putter to win here because if you're a great ball striker, you're going to be close enough to the target. If you're a bad ball striker, you're going to miss the green a lot. You're going to be in water, in the woods, off the green, in the sand, all kinds of stuff you don't want to be in. So very specific golf course this week. Again, $20 million purse, $3.6 million to the winner, 700 FedEx Cup points to the champion. 72 players in the field this week. That is the bare minimum number. We're going to get to that here this week. So we're going to go through every player in the field as best we can in terms of betting odds. Rory McIlroy is not playing. He didn't want to play this event a couple of years ago. Cost him supposedly $3, $4 million, whatever it was, in that pit money. And he's not playing this week. Once the week off, he wasn't going to play anyway. He wasn't in the Friday commitment. So he wasn't playing anyhow, regardless of the outcome. Scottie Scheffler, defending champion, 9-2. Colin Morikawa, 10-1. Ludwig, 14-1. I've tweeted this already. I will probably have a future on Ludwig to win the 2026 Masters, and I will probably make it in the next week or so. He is my pick already, and things can change, but he's my pick, early pick for the 2026 Masters. Xander Schauffele, 16-1. I think there should be some positive takeaways from his week at the Masters. Patrick Cantlay, who is, other than, you know, Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, Matt Fitzpatrick, kind of the Mr. Harbortown. Like, he is in this thing, like, almost every year, plays really well at this golf course, has an eye for it. He's 18-1. Obviously, no significant part of the Masters whatsoever to get to the weekend. Justin Thomas, 20-1. Russell Henley's been playing great, 25-1. Corey Connors, Can you imagine a day where Corey Connors is 25-1 to win a golf tournament? We bet him last week at 50-1 in the biggest tournament of the year. And now in a field that's not that different in terms of quality, 43 of the world top 50, you have him at 25-1. Unbettable number. I mean, it's just unbettable. But thank you, Corey Connors, for an entertaining week. Shane Lowry, I think, is bettable 30-1. Again, I have realized I have a Shane Lowry bias toward betting him. 30-1 is a pretty good number. Tommy Fleetwood's playing great. Again, doesn't win in America. How do you bet a guy that's never won in America? 30-1. Vic Hovland had a nice week. Kind of fell apart a little bit on the weekend. 35-1. Sungjae, 35-1. I think we're gonna have a conversation about this week. I think you're going to have to bet him. Daniel Berger's already been bet down to 35-1. I think really the only way you're going to be able to play him this week, and we will talk about that in this episode, is as first-round leader. I wouldn't bet him to win the tournament. That price is too short. I know he's playing great. He's going to look good in the model in a few seconds in the next graphic, but 35-1 is way short. Sepp Straka spectacularly missed the cut at the Masters. My biggest investment was my biggest clunker. He had such a furious comeback on Friday, too. Got it to 6-under on the day, and then triples the last to miss the weekend. That's golf betting for you right there. Aaron Rye, 35-1, playing great. Little short for me, but not in terms of his length, but the price. You're going to see a lot of people on JT posting this week. And for good example, he actually didn't make the graphic for Horses for Courses, but he's one of them. Yeah, he should be on the list at 60-1. I like Bobby Mack, maybe Denny, but I do like Bobby Mack at 40-1. Matt McNeely, I'm going to bet at 60-1. Just telling you right now, he models out really well. He should fit this golf course really well. If you see any kind of parallel between Sea Island and here, and I think you should see some, even though it's not as claustrophobic, but short, small putting surfaces, old style golf course in that regard, although they were developed 40 years apart. But there you go. I'm going to be on Matt McNeely this week. So let's look at the model top 10 before we get any deeper into anything. I don't think any of this is surprising. This is updated with Masters numbers. Scotty Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Ultimate Horse for Course, Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg, Tommy Fleetwood, Wyndham Clark, still riding high on some of those wins and high finishes. Matt McNeely, Daniel Berger, Corey Connors. So there's your rationale for throwing Matt McNeely in there at 60-1. Again, Daniel Berger, everyone's going to be on him this week. It is going to be a community win if he wins, or if you go and be contrarian, you're going to be a community Horses for Courses this week. We mentioned JT Post didn't make this graphic. He should have. But Patrick Cantlay, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Brian Harman plays this tournament really well. Corey Connors plays well. Sungjae plays it well. Again, none of those guys are screaming super long. They're flushers. Some of them are good putters. Most of them are not. You know, it is on the end of Brian Harman's putter. It looks like a six bricks glued together. Matthew Fitzpatrick, I think, has a pretty good putting stroke, pretty good putting game, but you know, not the best short game. And Sungjae really showed out at the Masters. He had a really nice weekend. I think that was good for him. I maybe get him back on the right track here. Let's look at the past champions going back to 19. Remember this 20 event when Webb Simpson won? He had to play this in June because they skipped over it because of the COVID pause, break, whatever you call it. So working backwards from last year, Scotty Scheffler, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Stuart Sink, which was a shocker of shockers, Webb Simpson, CT Pan, Satoshi Kodaira in 2018. I mean, we've had Wesley Bryan. We've had some very surprising winners back before this was a signature elevated whatever event it is now. Now you've had three really good champions. You've had three major winners. They've just kind of eliminated the riffraff, and that's what you get. Multiple 15, top 15 finishes last five. This is something I like to use, new graphic for this episode or this show. I use it a lot in my writing and talking about kind of players who are playing well right now. Well, we've got the best players in the world, so you're going to get a big, long list. In a couple of weeks, when you have an event where the field isn't as deep, and especially as we get in like late June, July, those kinds of events, this list will be much shorter. But this week, you got pretty much everybody. This is all in alphabetical order. This isn't in terms of number of finishes, but multiple top 15s, last five PGA Tour men's played. Bud Cauley, Corey Connors, Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood, Ryan Gerard, Lucas Glover, Ryo Hesetsun, Tom Hoagie, Shane Lowry, Bobby Mack, Colin Morikawa, Aaron Rye, Davis Riley, Xander, and Scotty. I mean, a lot of the people whose names we've mentioned on this show the last month or so just happen to be on this list. They're playing great. They played great multiple times. Now, this isn't a list I necessarily rely on to tell me who to bet, but it kind of is the foundation, right? I want to know who's playing well now, and I want to know who plays this golf course well, and then try to marry the two together. And I think this is a good kind of jumping off point for any research you're going to do in a tournament every single week. Who's playing well now? Now, your metric may be different than mine, right? Might be top 25s, might be top 20s. Your lists get bigger in that regard, probably. Just a little bit bigger on the top 20s. But big enough that you now have, instead of like 15 guys, you have 20, 25 guys you got to pare it down to. And then you can kind of narrow that list down a little bit. That's up to you. I like this metric. It's worked for me. I'll stick with it. All right, let's get a little bit more into the field. Now that we know what we've got, we only have three sets of 24 in graphics this week. So did the first 24. Here's the next 24. Justin Rose, 70-1. I think the proper play is to fade him here this week. Nothing against Justin Rose. Incredible playing his best golf at 43 and 44 years old, having a legitimate chance to win the last two majors played at that advanced stage of your life. I'm turning 42 at the end of the month. I salute you, man. That's incredible. But you've got to be tired. It's really hard to bet a guy betting, having done that and had your heart ripped out. Now you're going to come back next week against another world-class field and go win? Maybe, but that's a hard no for me. Akshay, 70-1. JJ Spahn, 70-1. Akshay's kind of interesting, I think, because he does have the imagination to play this place really well. He could get out of a lot of trouble. Again, the putting's not great, but if the ball striking's pretty good, it could be okay. Brian Harman, 70-1. I will bet. For Brian Harman, Davis Thompson, no thank you. Sahith Theegala is kind of interesting, but I'll pass. Tony Finau, Matt Fitzpatrick, Will Zalatoris, Siwoo Kim, Billy Ho, Ben On, Lucas Glover, Harris English, Bud Cauley, Michael Kim. Big old group at 80-1 this week. I think most of those are a no for me. I mean, I love Will Zalatoris' tee to green game. I will never get past his putting. Billy Horschel's kind of interesting. Nothing particularly special this past weekend of the Masters, but, you know, I think his game kind of works for this golf course. Ben On, ball striker delight, right? I mean, not playing his best golf, but ball striker delight, had a decent week of the Masters. That's about a bang on price for him, I think. I think Lucas Glover's a bit of a steal at 80-1. Again, can't putt through a paper bag, but he is a tremendous, tremendous ball striker. He can keep it in play. I think he's an interesting play. I think Harris English should be close to a community play this week. He played really well, finished well at the Masters. Kind of has the game that works well here. Sea Island-ish kind of guy. Bud Cauley at 81. I think you got to have at least a little taste of. Again, playing great, 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 great golf. You got to have a piece of him at 80-1, I think. Tom Hoagie is playing great golf at 90-1. Again, similar kind of guy, quality ball striker. I'm going to save Taylor Pendrith for a few weeks from now. When we see him at the PGA Championship for Quail Hollow, we'll be there for that. He's going to be on the card for that. I've already got that future in hand. Max Homa, 125-1. What do you do about Max Homa? Top 12 in ties, got back, invited to the Masters. He got in that top 12 in ties. He hit a zillion balls on the range last week. He is still clearly looking for some things, but he also found something inside of himself that maybe indicates he actually hasn't lost it, and he still got it. I think, one of my buddies is a tour caddy. He said, talent doesn't get lost. It just gets misplaced. And I love that sentiment. I think Max Homa maybe has turned a corner here, but it's kind of hard to bet into that corner, right? You typically bet someone after you realize they've turned the corner. You don't bet them when they're turning the corner. So might be a tough bet this week, but that is an interesting thing because Max Homa would be like 250, 300-1 a week ago. So interesting. Tom Dietrich, nah, no thanks. Andrew Novak plays the tight course as well, but then vomits all over himself. So I'm going to pass there. Let's get in this last group of guys. Mac Hughes, 125-1. That's kind of interesting that he's in here. I'm not going to bet him, but the numbers aren't bad. Patrick Rogers got pulled from the Punta Cana field to get into here. He was a seat filler this week, so he's playing. Jacob Bridgman's been playing pretty well. Kind of hard to get behind him at that kind of price against this quality of field. Adam Scott actually rates out 13th in my model, 150-1. Kind of an interesting play. Ryan Gerard, so consistent. He could be one of those shock champions at this tournament. He just keeps the ball in play. It doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Could be a really interesting top 10 bet this week, particularly at the price you're going to get for him. Ryohei Satsune has played very well the last few weeks. I don't know how long he's going to be playing well because of the weird water bottle thing he does on like every shot. Cam Young plays this tournament well. Again, I'm not keen on him, but okay, you know. People bet him last week at a higher number. Maybe you're interested in betting him this week. Sami Vallimaki is kind of interesting to me. Again, if you're going to bet a shock champion of the people down at the bottom, I would bet Sami Vallimaki over anybody else. Although, yeah, I thought about Brian Campbell for a second. He had a really nice Masters, Brian Campbell did, by the way. Really nice Sunday. Moved up pretty well. I can't bet him, but really nice Sunday. So at least something to think about. I think the longest shot I would legitimately consider here is Adam Scott at 150-1, maybe Ryan Gerard. I know Matt Kuchar's in the field. Too far gone for me, even though he is probably the GOAT of this event, other than Jim Furyk and Davis Love III. Stewart Cink, 3-time winner also. But you know, those days are long gone. All right, let's get into some of the more in-depth stuff here. This is normally what we do in the second show. We're just going to combine it all this week because I took Monday off because I was exhausted. And you were probably exhausted from the Masters. So we're putting it all together. This graphic is getting longer and longer. It's our short-term form graphic where I'm trying to take three categories of information and try to kind of lead you on a journey toward guys you might like this week for their quality of play in the last 10 events. So we're looking at guys who have gained an average of 1.2 strokes per round in strokes gained total over the last 10 events. Then that middle list is players who have a quality strokes gained number of 1.5. per round, that's your strokes gained in the aggregate times the quality of your competition as measured by the official World Golf Ranking. A lot of commonalities between those two lists. The only two guys that get kicked off of the first list are Michael Kim and Ryohei Satsune because they did it mostly against weaker competition. But the other names are Scheffler, Cauley, Connors, this is in order, Bridgman, Highsmith, Morikawa, Thomas. Highsmith falls off that list, by the way. Ludwig, Ryohei Satsune, Akshay, Aaron Rai, J.J. Spaun, Patrick Cantlay, Michael Kim, Daniel Berger, Denny, and Harris English. A lot of those same names on that next list. They kind of get moved around on the second list based on the quality of their competition, but a lot of the same names. And then the third column of this graphic is players who are gaining strokes gained on the approach in the area of 0.6 strokes per round or higher in the last 10 events. This is in order. I think this is kind of the tell of if you're not in the strokes gained in the aggregate list, I want you in this list because it means you're hitting the ball really well on second shots. It means you're playing pretty well. Maybe you're not putting as well. Maybe you're not hitting off the tee as well. Putting's variable. Hitting off the tee can be fixed. Flushers don't get fixed. You are a flusher or you are not. And those guys playing well, a lot of the same names again. Bud Cauley, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Sami Vallimaki. That's why I would remotely consider him at 300-1. Shane Lowry, Morikawa, Spaun, Cantlay, Rye, Willie Z. Again, horrible putter. Keegan Bradley, Hovland, Straka, Hoagie. So Straka not playing as well recently, even though he's tremendously consistent. And I think that's probably something to scare you off of him. Maybe we were a little late to realizing that, but he still almost made the cut. But Tom Hoagie, really interesting bet. I think at that like two, that longer range, closer to what, 201 or whatever it was. I think he's worth a consideration here. Then we'll look at strokes gained tee to green leaders with low variance, right? Players who are consistently gaining strokes gained tee to green over the last 30 events, right? We want to know whether you are a good tee to green player. Because, again, putting is so variable. Things change. Putting surfaces change. Grasses change. Size change. Designers change. All that stuff changes every week. And there's a lot of change from tee to green, like topographically, hole length, all that stuff. But that's much more controllable than putting, I think. And that's why I look to this list. Again, leaders that are gaining strokes well tee to green and with low variance, so they're doing it consistently. Tommy Fleetwood, Shane Lowry, Lucas Glover, Michael Kim, Bobby Mack, Keegan Bradley, Taylor Pendrith, and Justin Thomas. Yeah, a lot of the same names you've heard. Maybe some you haven't. Taylor Pendrith hasn't come up quite as much, but pretty much everyone else has. And I think they're all interesting plays. Except, of course, I'm going to stay away from Shane Lowry as long as humanly possible because, or excuse me, Fleetwood as long as possible because he doesn't win in this country. I'm going to keep betting Shane Lowry until probably I pass out. So Let's go forward. We're going to talk about some derivative plays here real quick. Let's look at players in the field who have, in the last 50 events, a top 20 finish percentage of 40% or greater. Again, we have about 20 guys on this list. Actually, exactly 20 guys on this list. I'm not going to go through them all for you in total length, but you know the top 10 of those guys you wouldn't be surprised by. So let's go by to the bottom 10, starting at 11. Sepp Straka, Sun J.M., Aaron Rye, Patrick Cantlay, Luke Clanton, who's not in this, but Ryan Gerard, Russell Henley, Bobby Mack, Matt McNeely, Wyndham Clark. I mean, these are all the guys on the tour right now. Clanton's on this list because he hasn't played enough events. Everyone else has played a lot of events. And they're the best players in the world, right? I mean, that's how it is. So if you're at a top 20 percentage above 40%, you are an elite player in the world right now. That means you had a killer year, you gained a ton of points, you probably won or got close. This is just how it works. So if you're interested in kind of those derivative top 20 plays this week, which I don't think you should be as much because you got a 72-player field, you want to look at 10s, not 20s. You're going to get better value. The 20s, you're going to be minus a lot of the field, minus money, which I wouldn't really want to get into. I am not a derivative guy. This is more for people who like that than for me. This is not something I would typically bet, but it is kind of interesting to look and see the guys that are consistent. And a lot of these guys' names we've said over and over and over again, the 20-some-odd minutes we've done this show today. And that kind of is another kind of box checker of like, all right, well, you're not a fluke. You've been on this list too. You're just playing great golf. Let's lock those guys in. Let's talk about first round leader plays. Hopefully you played Justin Rose last week. I think I talked about on this show. I know I told some friends about it. Then I fell asleep the night before, didn't bet it. And by the time I realized it, it was too late. So hopefully you hit that at 60 or 80 to 1, depending on the book. If you did, that's awesome. First round strokes gained leaders in this event last 5 years, Vic Hovland, Daniel Berger, Patrick Cantlay, Billy Horschel, Bud Cauley, Colin Morikawa. Bud Cauley keeps coming up again and again. I don't think he's that attractive to bet to win. Daniel Berger isn't either. Bud Cauley's kind of interesting, but a decent enough price. But I think you could bet Daniel Berger, Cauley, and maybe Horschel for a first round leader play. If you look at kind of the broader picture, the last 50 events of the PGA Tour, just in first rounds, any first round strokes gained, then you're looking at guys that you kind of expect, right? Scheffler, Henley, Thomas, Shoffley, Matsuyama, Henley, Glover. I mean, flushers, guys that are world-class players. But contrast that to this event, you got to kind of get a little different subset, and I think that is kind of interesting. All right, so we jam-packed two typically 22-minute shows in the one 23-minute show today, just to try to get everything to you. We also have another PGA Tour event to talk about tomorrow, so that's going to take up a good chunk of it. We'll talk about the LPGA event a little bit. That'll take up a good chunk of it with modeling. We'll talk about the Volvo China Open. We'll touch a little bit on the Lee Compson Coast Classic, which is down in Florida on the Corn Ferry Tour. I think that's pretty much it, the state of play this week. Again, we'll get through all of that with you. If you have any questions, you can go ahead and get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on social media at Ryan Ballingy. You can join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. You can watch this show on our YouTube channel. You can listen to it as a podcast on your podcast service of choice or on our audio-only YouTube channel, Golf News Net Radio. You can watch this show on Golf News Net TV, which is available in our app for Roku and Amazon Fire. Also streaming on Golf News Net TV, which is on Zeem, Free Life Sports, and Freecast. With all that said, I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks so much for watching or listening. We will catch you next time on The Press.
Black Friday, wow, shop, Wayfair now, month-long big deals. Yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best gift in core, Black Friday scores.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets, better you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Here's a good plug, area rugs. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the season.
Wayfair.